Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is so wonderful to have you along. And, you know, today we're going to talk about something that a lot of people do not seem to understand, and that is gratitude. That's right, gratitude. What are you thankful for? And you know what? It does go beyond that, too, because my guest today, her name is Lisa E. Papp. She is a gratitude coach. She's the founder of PracticalGratitude.com. She has 30 years of experience in direct and retail sales, retail management, customer service, and marketing for organizations including Nordstrom, Safeco Insurance, and the American Institute of Architects Seattle chapter. Under her management, sales for the flagship Greetings retail store increased over 20% in 1 year. She has received many recommendations for superior customer service. Lisa has volunteered with various nonprofit organizations, including the Green Lake Chamber of Commerce in Seattle, Broad Secretary and Board President, and Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Using stress reduction and gratitude practices, Lisa overcame health challenges, which resulted in debilitating panic attacks. PracticalGratitude.com offers a free trial of gratitude sending tool, as well as information about stress reduction and gratitude practices. The Productive Power of Gratitude online program for sales and customer service professionals will launch in 2015. So right now, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Lisa of Seattle. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Miriam. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm really, really glad to have you on, and I do think this is a very, very important topic for anybody, not just business professionals, but anybody to understand. So now I'm going to ask you, could you please tell us exactly about your background and how gratitude became so important to you?
Certainly. My parents were very particular about the social graces, so they were very strong in teaching us how important gratitude was. We had to send cards after someone gave us a gift or did something nice for us. The social graces also carried over to saying please and thank you and being respectful. And our dinner tables actually were kind of like etiquette school, which drove us crazy when we were kids. But I really appreciate that, and it's really served me well in business and personal situations when you can have, you know the social graces and table manners, et cetera. Then later in life, I had a number of challenges. My parents got divorced. That was stressful for the whole family. Mm-hmm. My father died. There were other issues with a head and neck injury I had when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I started having all these health challenges. I needed a lot of chiropractic care because I couldn't remember things. I was dizzy 24/7. I couldn't think straight, and I started having panic attacks, which perhaps this sounds familiar to some people because I understand by doing research on one anti-anxiety medication alone, there are 44 million prescriptions annually in the United States. So apparently there are a few other people who are dealing with stress, anxiety, panic attacks. So I would get these situations that I honestly thought I was having a heart attack. My heart would be pounding. I'd start sweating. I'd get pain down my arm and sometimes feel like I would faint. It was just terrible. So all these things, you know, built up in my adult years, and I really didn't feel grateful, even though I had many good things in my life, married to a great guy, luckily with good health insurance.
Yes.
I went through a period of really struggling and not really feeling grateful and really down and depressed. I didn't think it was a good quality of life. So I had to look for, as the healing came physically and then learning stress reduction techniques, how to reduce the panic attacks, I also, that part, that stress reduction part was key for me, and then learning to put gratitude into practice. That's just my experience. For other people, it might go a different way. They might always feel grateful and not lose that and be able to practice that. But for me, I really had to learn how to reduce the stress, calm down, And then look for the good and look for the happy and put forth gratitude practices. And who knew all these years later that practicalgratitude.com and some coaching and writing and speaking would come out of this crazy life experience. But I'm very grateful to have had the experience.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. So, you know, that is absolutely true. When you do go through a very stressful, negative time period, you're going to lose that. You're going to say, why me, why me? And you're going to forget about all the good things that you could be taking for granted and focusing on what is stressing you out. You know, and it doesn't only just come to for work or business. It could come to family, too. There's so many things that could just create that. So
exactly.
Now I'm going to ask, how does stress affect us in the workplace or in any other situation, and how can we reduce stress?
Well, we have an epidemic, according to a survey from the American Psychological Association about stress in America. There is a public health crisis, really, with the stress-related diseases and issues. Stress affects us in every manner of our life, every part of our life. Now, a little adrenaline and a little bit of stress is good, and it can motivate us.
Mm-hmm.
And that ancient fight or flight kind of get out of the way of the saber-tooth tiger still can kick in. So when you do have to get something done or get out of the way from a dangerous situation, the problem is that we're often continually at that high level of stress.
Mm-hmm,
and we're
mm-hmm.
doing things in our lifestyle. I had to look at every aspect of my lifestyle, Miriam. I had to look at, you know, cutting out caffeine, getting good sleep. Mm-hmm. Arianna Huffington talks about this in her book, Thrive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a crisis, a health crisis, and realized there was nothing medically wrong with her, but she was totally stressed out, only sleeping 4 hours a night, and then collapsed on her desk and blacked out and cut her head, and it started her whole journey to changing her lifestyle. So I had to look at every aspect of my lifestyle. I had to look at my diet, exercise, learn calming techniques, because stress, other than a little bit of adrenaline from time to time, it actually makes us less productive. It makes us short-tempered.
Yes.
It causes many diseases. It causes problems in communication, personally and professionally, or it can kill us. You know, you can drop dead from a stress-induced heart attack, or other diseases can be brought on by stress. It's serious. So learning the tools and techniques, and there are all sorts of them. I'll talk about some.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? You know, that is the thing. We all know this. We all know this, and it's so easy. It's so easy to forget about the fact that there are tools out there that can help us reduce stress. And as you were saying, a little bit of stress is good because it does motivate you. But when it starts getting out of hand, then that's a problem. And how do you know when stress is really getting out of hand? Because some people just may not even realize it.
Hmm.
How do you know?
I think, you know, whether or not you go to the doctor or end up having a panic attack and going to the emergency room or the doctor like I did, you can take your blood pressure, whether a home machine or at the grocery store or drugstore, they often have machines, or your gym.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure is an indication. Just how you feel overall, if you feel that you can't calm down and you can't sleep well, sleep is a real indicator of too much stress. If you're loading up, if you're not sleeping well and maybe using something to help you get better sleep, like a pharmaceutical to help you get better sleep, that has its own side effects and challenges that can cause, you know, danger with driving a car, et cetera, that sort of stuff. So getting in a good sleep cycle and looking at things, do you drink too much coffee, Coke, or, well, I don't mean to pick just on that, but soft drinks with caffeine, even chocolate with caffeine, fast food and things are loaded with chemicals and stimulants. I had to look at every part of my diet, and I try to eat, you know, mainly vegetarian, not completely. I do have some organic fish and meats and things, but you know, I had to look at everything, and especially stimulants. And just how you feel, I think you know, if you really I don't know exactly how we've gotten to this point in our modern era. I think the internet is a great tool. I do most of my business online, but I also think between the internet, smartphones, texting, this being connected all the time idea,
yes,
I think this has created an unrealistic lifestyle for health and for productivity. I mentioned earlier that stress actually makes us less productive. Working 14 hours a day is not productive either. There have been studies done, and I think I did a blog post about this, that's showing that your productivity goes way down after 8 hours. And also not taking breaks. Every 52 minutes, standing up, getting away from your desk, not getting on YouTube, not checking your Facebook page, not checking your Twitter feed.
Which most people are really compelled to do these days, unfortunately.
Right. And, yes, and I'm fortunate. I'm an entrepreneur. I work from a gorgeous home office. I can get outside, and I can do my stress-reducing tips, but it's a lifestyle choice, and it can happen from the top down in certain companies. And I went to a conference this October in New York City called Wisdom 2.0, and these wisdom conferences they've done in various places, and you can find them online. They talk about companies and people who are teaching and acting on mindfulness, innovation, and wisdom in business. So there were all sorts of companies participating there. Aetna Insurance, Mark Bertolini, the CEO of Aetna, spoke about how stress and pre-diabetes and diabetes is going to bankrupt the insurance industry.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. And then there were people from Google and Facebook and people from high-powered New York investment companies and the New York Times. Dan Harris spoke. I got to meet Dan Harris. Are you familiar with him, the ABC News journalist?
Yep.
He had a panic attack.
Did he?
On air, live, on air, and he talks about this and showed the video. And he was giving the news and had a panic attack with his mentors, Diane Sawyer and Charlie Gibson, I think, looking on. And he then had to go to the doctor and figure out why it was happening. And it started him down this very long track. He was East Coast, you know, type A personality, not into meditation, not into spirituality, none of that stuff. He is now a meditator, and he wrote a great book about it, which is very accessible, called 10% Happier, which I love that.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do now recall that. I do recall that, you know, that incident. So, wow. Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a major incident like that to create a big wake-up call. So now, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about gratitude here.
Yep.
So, you know what? Let's just find out exactly what gratitude is, because there's a lot of people that aren't really, really clear on it. So could you explain more in depth of what gratitude is?
Sure. We are fortunate to have a membership with the Greater Good Science Center at the University of California, Berkeley.
Oh, great.
Dr. Robert Emmons, PhD and author and researcher, he is perhaps the world's leading scientific expert on gratitude. He's written books, he's written textbooks, and they do a lot of research, and we're able to use a lot of their content on our website, which is amazing. He explains that gratitude has two key components. First, Dr. Emmons says, it's an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world, including gifts and benefits we've received. So that affirmation that there are good things in the world, it's an attitude, it's a choice, and a perception of the world. You can look at the bad and bemoan that and get stuck in the anxiety, depression, or lack of activity, or you can look for the good even in the midst of traumatic and terrible situations. The second part of gratitude, he says, is that you recognize that the source of the goodness is outside of ourselves. We acknowledge that other people and situations help us, and if you're of a spiritual mindset, perhaps there's a higher power, but that we receive gifts, big and small, to help us achieve the goodness in our lives. So it has those two parts, but basically it's an affirmation and looking for good, and that's really empowering. That was the key to me, even while I was still dealing with the health issues. I realized, okay, I can choose to say, look at the beautiful sunny day I have, and the nice house I live in, and a meal on the table, and my friends and family who are helping me, even when I didn't feel great some days or couldn't be productive. I mean, there were years I couldn't work because of my health situations. So I would look for the small things in gratitude, and it has a cumulative effect. It started turning around that negative thinking. And to be honest, Miriam, I'm not in that perfect Zen gratitude mode all the time. There are things that tick me off, that make me angry. There are things in the world and injustices or things that don't go right. But what I've learned is tools and techniques that more quickly get me back to that gratitude mindset and get me back to a calmer, center, balanced person.
Well, you're always going to be human, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, and I think one great thing I know that has helped me in many ways is writing down 5 things that you're grateful for before going to bed every night, even during really challenging days. There's always something, even if it was a good meal you had, or if it was someone holding the door for you at the supermarket. I mean, anything very small, at least there's something, so...
That's very powerful, and that is one of the things that Dr. Emmon speaks about in their program is keeping a gratitude journal. And every day is great. They even saw improvements with people dramatically who just kept a gratitude journal a few times a week. So that's great that you're doing that every day.
Yeah. Because you know what? Life can be stressful. We all have our unique stressful situations. And it is important to acknowledge the good that you have in life, because it's very, very, very easy to believe that you have been handed a very, very difficult card, and it's very easy to get stuck into that kind of mindset.
Right.
And if you remember the things that you could be very well taking for granted, you may be thinking, well, maybe in some areas I was stuck with a difficult card, but in other areas I have an advantage. And it is true.
Absolutely.
And it is true. Some people do have it harder than others, and that is a fact. But there's always something good. There's always something good that you could be ignoring.
Yes.
So it is important, very important, to acknowledge all the good that you have. And that does keep you as positive as you can. It really can. So now that we're on to that, could you explain more how having a grateful mindset really can help in business?
Absolutely. I have a little phrase I say that is, the power of please and thank you can move mountains. Yes, I sometimes feel like we're in the modern era of ordering each other around.
Oh, yes. I know what
especially,
you mean.
especially online, in emails, texts, social media.
Oh, yes.
It's incredible. There's a whole lot of do this, like this, click here, visit my website, get back to me, call me. So what I started doing is thinking about how to take the gratitude practices and my experience in sales and customer service to honor what people are doing well, and we're creating an online program you mentioned that will be released in a number of months, specifically around sales and customer service professionals and managers of those companies around gratitude and appreciation practices. So throwing please and thank you in. Now, I've had younger people tell me online, it's old school. I had one guy, when I was having a customer service chat, Twitter chat. There's a number of people who lead that Tuesday evenings, I think 6 o'clock Pacific time. And he sent me a tweet with hashtag speed rules. No time for please and thank you. You're not my mother, and that's
condescending. No.
Yes. So I think there's all sorts of attitudes about the fact that yes. we're going at this pace and we don't need that. I think please and thank you gets things done. It yep. it honors and respects the other person. It greases the wheels. And everyone's busy these days. Most of us are very busy. Countless emails in our inbox, countless requests on social media. I've at the point where I don't really want to take the time if someone doesn't use please and thank you.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And I hate to be that way, but I have mm-hmm. to, it just, I don't have the time to honor all the requests and things that I get. For example, in a sales situation,
mm-hmm.
we'll have more of this on the website, recommendations for communication. I get an email from a company who will remain nameless. It's
right.
a large software company that mm-hmm. provides customer relationship management software, which I need for my website.
Mm-hmm.
I get an email after I opted into their list from their salesperson. And obviously, it's a large company. They have a number of salespeople.
Yes.
The email said, "Hey, Lisa, want to make more money with your website? Call me now."
Mm.
And I thought, wow. that's very casual.
Very.
And I know we're much more casual in business, but in sales mm-hmm. and customer service, the social graces are needed more than ever today to stand out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? And to make your customers feel and prospective customers feel appreciated. I didn't even want to respond to him, but I did get a dialogue going back and forth with him, and there was just more of the same. So I did not choose to work with that company and use that product.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make me feel valued. It didn't make me feel that it was a professional conversation, communication, honoring my time. So even just adding please and thank you to correspondence, and I get a lot of correspondence and messages also for services that I've used, where they'll say, "We haven't seen you in a while. We've missed you.
Mm-hmm.
Please schedule another appointment."
Yep.
And I'm thinking,
there's
how much?
Grace there.
I know. So I've counseled several businesses and made recommendations back to them, and they've changed their copy on those email messages.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for being a valuable customer. We mm-hmm. appreciate your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We noticed you hadn't been in for a while. We hope to see you again. Here's how you can make an appointment online. Thank you so much again. We appreciate you. Just adding those few lines
yep.
changes the whole dynamic and goes from yet another salesperson bothering me or following up with me to, boy, this is someone who really seems to care about my business and appreciate
yeah.
my business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually very interesting. And you know what? I do teach my kids to say please and thank you all the
Yay.
Time.
Yay.
Yes, I do. And they do it. Now, the other thing, too, is that this is very interesting. You know, I am the same way. If someone doesn't thank me for something, someone really clearly shows they don't appreciate what I've done, then I just don't do it. And it is the same thing when it comes to, say, the law of attraction. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't express gratitude, then why you're going to get better? Why would you get better things in life? Why would the universe grant you that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's absolutely the same thing. So now that I'm going to be asking, what are a few appreciation practices that can help with sales prospects and client retention?
Well, I just mentioned adding please and thank you to your
mm-hmm.
correspondence.
Yeah.
One thing that can help, which is sort of an internal thing, when you're dealing with a difficult client or customer, getting back to that attitude of gratitude, that mindset, maybe this person is in your life to teach you an interesting lesson. Maybe it's just to teach you about patience.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little thing that I do called the silent thank you. And I have a friend who does this in his retail situation where he'll just silently say thank you to the person who's giving him the hard time. You know, you're out of stock on this. You're not doing what I need, as the customer's, you know, coming at him. You don't know that person. They're probably just having a bad day, right? So the silent thank you is helpful. Also, there's a tool that I use that is there's a link to it on our website when people join us. There's an online system for creating a gratitude or other kind of greeting card. Now, this is a real card that the company prints, stamps, and mails for you, but it's all created online. You can use your logo, your pictures, all your company information, text, even scan your handwriting font in there. Mm-hmm. You can include gifts of thank you. I was forever forgetting to go to the store and get thank you cards or postage and getting those thank yous out. I think for some sorts of clients, particularly higher end clients,
yes,
to get
important.
A personal thank you in the mail mm-hmm. really makes you stand out.
It's and important. It's absolutely
yes.
crucial because they're
yes.
going to value that. They're going to realize that you do appreciate their business.
Yes.
And that is a significant gesture. It really is. And that
and
does
one other
make a
thing,
difference.
One other thing I'll mention on that just briefly, and I know we're probably mm-hmm. close to time, but
mm-hmm.
often people, salespeople, will send out that first thank you card or email,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be sincere about it, but they will then, in the same card or email, ask for referrals. Don't
mm-hmm.
do that on the first card.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tip. Just send the thank you first. Just be
That's
genuinely respectful of their money, their time working with you, and thank them for being a customer. Wait for another communication to come back and ask for referrals.
Yeah, and you know what? They may do it anyway if they're really pleased with what you've been doing and the fact
exactly.
that you do value. So I'm going to finally ask you, what do you offer at practicalgratitude.com?
Well, we're working on the online program
mm-hmm.
for sales and customer service professionals regarding stress reduction and gratitude. So that's going to be available in a few months. But in the meantime, there are lots of resources for free videos and instruction on gratitude practices and simple stress reduction practices. And then a free trial of that gratitude card creating sending system, which can also be used for any kind of cards, birthdays,
Excellent.
Personal business, whatever. So there's a free trial of that and information and then more to come with the online program.
Excellent. So finally, Lisa, how can people get in touch with you? How can they reach you online?
PracticalGratitude.com
mm-hmm.
is the website. There's also a PracticalGratitude.com Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find all the links to social media. I'm on
Excellent.
Twitter as well.
But
great. PracticalGratitude.com. Thank you so much,
Wonderful.
Miriam.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my guest. I do appreciate the fact you took the time to come on my show. And everybody, thank you for being wonderful listeners. I will speak to you next week. Bye for now.